confusing because that's all we hear is probably the bad stories as opposed to the good ones.
The mainstream media's coverage has come in for some heavy criticism from opponents of the NHS reforms, who feel they're not being heard.
Certainly the BBC, supposed to be independent, seem to be afraid to allow alternative voices to be heard. They give a lot of airtime to proponents of this legislation to privatise our NHS, and hardly any to opponents. And it wasn't a balanced debate. And that's why the average person in the UK still doesn't know what's happening. They're completely unaware of it. Again, I think that's also deliberate, because if you do a full frontal assault on the National Health Service in the public gaze, people would never accept it.
Little by little, things would be taken away from the NHS, and unless you experience it or your family experience it, I don't think people will know. And even the NHS staff, I have to say to them, if there's a queue at A&E, if there's a patient's moaning at A&E about queues, I explain the situation to them, and they are truly shocked. And if they say, I've had to wait a year for an operation, I'll explain why they're having to wait a year. It's not because of the NHS, it's because of the reforms that were put through in 2012.
It's not that this is the end of the consultation. As I say, this is a democracy. People go to the polls every so often. And if there is widespread discontent, and indeed if this doesn't deliver or leads to a fall in standards, then there is, you know, the public has a right to speak at the ballot box.
If the public do want to register their displeasure at the next general election, they will certainly have an opportunity to do so. The National Health Action Party will be fielding numerous candidates at the next election, on a platform of opposing the NHS reforms and bringing the NHS back towards its founding principles.
We want to improve the National Health Service. We want to, in the longer term, abolish the involvement of competition, because you can't have competition and a market in healthcare. And the whole point of the National Health Service, right from the beginning, has been not only that it's free at the point of use, it is publicly provided and publicly accountable. And you can't have a privatised system that is producing all those things. So it's to get back to the real original ideals of the NHS and to improve it from the point of view of patient safety, quality of care and value for money.
Health is an issue that motivates the public to vote as well as protest. Richard Taylor successfully won elections in 2001 purely due to local anger at the closing of the local hospital's accident and emergency department. Public outrage would be harnessed again in 2012 when, out of the blue, an attempt was made to close down Lewisham Hospital in South East London. Louise Irvine has worked as a GP in Lewisham for 20 years. She's also a member of the National Health Action Party and the chair of the Save Lewisham Hospital campaign.
Well, at first it sounds like they just want to close the emergency department and the maternity. But the emergency department is like the front door to the hospital. It's where the hospital admits its emergency cases into the hospital beds. So if you close the emergency department, you close the acute medical and surgical and children's wards and the intensive care unit. So we know by looking at other examples that when a hospital loses its emergency department, it's the beginning of the end of that hospital. It starts to decline, more and more wards close, more and more staff leave, more and more services get cut back, until you're left with a sort of shell of a hospital, maybe with a few minor services. I got together with other doctors and health workers in Lewisham, but also members of the public, with patients, and with all kinds of people from all walks of life in the community. And we organised a big campaign to oppose this decision to close our hospital.
Normally, when the government tries to close down hospitals, it is due to poor standards. If a bad hospital cannot raise its standards, it is shut down. Lewisham didn't suffer from these problems.
In the case of Lewisham, it's a good hospital. It performs well by all the different ratings. But the government wanted to close it because it wanted to reduce the total number of hospitals in southeast London, where we are. But it used a very sneaky way of trying to do that. And it would get a bit technical to explain it. But basically, there were hospitals in a neighbouring area that were suffering financial difficulties. The government put in a special administrator to try to sort out those financial problems of this neighbouring set of hospitals. And that special administrator instead decided that the way to deal with that would be to close our hospital in Lewisham, to divert patients from Lewisham to these financially troubled hospitals to bring more money to them. And that's the point that we challenged legally. We said that the special administrator under the law should only make decisions about the hospitals to which he's been appointed. He cannot make decisions about other hospitals in other areas. And we looked at the wording of the law, and our lawyers were right. We fought it and we won.
Despite the disagreements about the current reforms, everyone agrees that the NHS needs to change and modernise. Medical treatments are constantly evolving, becoming better and more expensive every year. In addition, the population is ageing. People are living longer and rely on the NHS during their later years as they become more frail. Critics of the NHS reform must have their own answers to these questions if they are to be taken seriously.
In terms of the ageing population, it is true that people are living longer. However, there is an assumption that if they previously, say, died at 65 and got ill at 60, that an ageing population now means they die at 95 and got ill at 60. But that's not actually the case. If you look at the pattern of people's ill health and their wellness during the lifespan, what you see is a large expansion of the well period of the life. So, in other words, people are productive and active longer.
We need to think of it as a health service, not as a treatment of the sick service. So we need to do a great deal more work in health prevention issues, and that means everything from stopping smoking to providing, as I was talking about, you know, having streets that people feel like they can walk and cycle on. I mean, 58% of journeys by car in Britain are less than 3 miles. You put a significant proportion of those onto bicycles, and you go to continental Europe and you find cities where people just make journeys like that by bicycle or on foot as a matter of course. If you focus on the prevention, the providing basic services to people, you know, before they get to crisis, then you save yourself the cost of crisis.
And there are many ways where the health service is not making the best use of funds. I mean, just one or two examples. If we got all patients with long-term conditions looking after themselves as much as they could rather than going to their doctor, one organisation told us that would save $6 billion a year. If we got people with minor ailments looking after themselves rather than going to the doctor, that was quoted to save $3 billion a year. So there are lots of ways of improving value for money, so much so that the $20 billion that the NHS is supposed to be saving could probably be clawed back from those sort of changes.
It is very expensive, modern healthcare. There are so many technological innovations, there's so much medication, so much research, that it is impossible, no matter how wealthy an economy is, to provide everything that is available to every citizen free at the point of cost. It is an utopian ideal, and I think we should all realise it is not possible.
It seems there is little hope for the NHS. Down the years, more and more British services have been privatised, from electricity to gas, from railways to Royal Mail. The process has been in motion for decades, and privatisation seems inevitable for the NHS. But were any of these public services valued as much as the National Health Service? Is it possible that it could be kept public?
When we fought for our hospital in Lewisham, at the very beginning, when we first heard the news that the hospital might be closed, there were people who said, well, what's the point? There's no point in fighting. It's a done deal. We're powerless. The government can do what it likes. We showed that if you organise a big enough campaign and you're strong enough, that you can fight, you can win. Now, I know that's a local issue, but I think the thing, you can actually learn lessons from that for the bigger picture. If you just give in now and say it's too late, of course you'll be defeated. They'll just walk all over you. If you say no, we will not accept it, you can begin to have a fight back.
Some local clinical commissioning groups are moving very slowly in privatising and in giving out contracts to the private sectors. They don't want to do it. They're being forced to, but they're putting obstacles in the way and playing for time. Not all are doing that, sadly. Some are rushing ahead and believe in it. We've got everything to play for in saving the NHS. And I do think that a change of government at the next election could put a stop to most of this nonsense.
The most urgent thing is to stop the sales of hospital land and buildings. So it won't be over until the hospital sites are gone. And that's the thing that is the big target on this.
You know, even a business contract has a time limit. It may be 2 decades or so, but still. But the more important thing is the principle of this. If the direction of change is what not, you know, what is not liked by people. So that, as you say, if the whole thing is perceived as a move towards privatization. Now, that can be halted. It may not be easy to reverse it, but, you know, as I said, the NHS budget is over £100 billion. So we are talking of a fraction of this at the current moment falling into competitive hands. So, and if, you know, people do not agree with the principle of the shift of opening up to more competition, then that can easily be stopped.
If we can help to encourage local movements and local campaigns around these issues, and they can all coalesce into a more broad national campaign, then I think we have the basis for a movement that could save our NHS. I have to hope that. I can't believe that it could all just go. It's too precious.